Good morning, everyone. Oh, come on. I was just teaching at Bible school this week, and I made them say good morning to me every morning, and they did better than that. Good morning. There you all are. It's really great to be with you this Sunday. As you can see up front here, we just finished up Bible school. It was a really super week, pun intended, and we're getting ready to gather this morning and do some worshiping. I know we have an announcement here. If you have any more announcements, feel free to stand and make it, but I'm going to turn it over to the youth right now.
So the youth's going to be having a fundraiser at the Twin Kiss in Myerstown to support our trip to NYC. It's going to be this Tuesday, and we're going to be serving dinner from 4 to 9:30 p.m. There's going to be forms in the narthex that you can bring with you. Yeah, you must bring them so that we get credit for serving. And yeah, we hope to see you there, and thank you.
And as I hear, they're not allowed to hand out extras, so just keep one in every car that you have, and if you end up going, you'll have one in your car. Or better yet, don't throw away your bulletin, just leave your bulletin in your car, because there's one in there for you. All right, do we have any more announcements this morning? Sure. We're going to have music on the hill tonight. It's a bunch of fun. We're going to have, I believe I saw there's a popcorn machine downstairs. It's going to be the Faithful Men singing and the praise team. And for something a little more interesting, they're going to flip-flop and do each other's music. It's at 7 o'clock tonight, and it's out here where you saw the big tractor trailer. Bring blankets, because you'll be sitting on your hill. That's why it's called Music on the Hill. Do you have any more announcements this morning? All right, if there's no more announcements, then we're going to move on to our VBS appreciation. I think, Holly, do you have that? All right. That's next. Somebody? VBS?
Yeah. All right. So as Holly makes her way forward, we're going to do the VBS appreciation. So if you were here as part of VBS at all, a helper behind the scenes, a teacher, a leader, I'd invite you to stand, and we just have a service script you'll see on the screen, and then Holly's going to give us some really cool information about what happened at VBS. Our Vacation Bible School this year was an epic success. Many volunteers made heroic commitments to leadership during VBS. These leaders shared the word of God with others. We now want to say thank you. So leaders, helpers, thank you for participating in the active life of God through the work you have done to make VBS such a success this year. You have demonstrated hero leadership by empowering students to follow God. Thank you for guiding them to seek peace and follow a call to action to serve others. So on behalf of the congregation, I want to say how deeply we appreciate the gifts of your time, talents, and service. So as leaders, would you please say what's on the screen? During VBS, all of the heroes discovered hero codes and hero verses for living. Let's repeat these at this time. Do good, seek peace, and go after it.
God's heroes have courage.
Do good, seek peace, and go after it.
God's heroes have wisdom.
Do good, seek peace, and go after it. Do good, seek peace, and go after it.
God's heroes have power.
Do good, seek peace, and go after it. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for allowing us the experience of your power and your presence at Vacation Bible School this year. You raised up heroes from among us this past week. Thank you for your son Jesus, who showed us how to follow your active plan for our lives. Help us to look for ways to share your love with others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Holly?
Talking to this thing again. Good morning. I just want to tell you all, if you weren't here to share Bible school with us, we really had a super week. Did we? Anybody here? Woo! Yes? Woo! Can we hear it? Oh, it's a little quiet this morning, but that's okay. This year, We had a superhero theme that I think our kids really related to. And if you can believe it, we touched 140 different students. That for us is just an amazing number. On any given day, we had, we had 123 on average. As I said, 140 different kids. Our junior high, sixth grade through age 14, was an amazing 20 students. We had 14 in fourth grade, and I think we had 14 in the nursery class. So that's what's coming up through Bible school this at this time, and that is just phenomenal. Up here you can see our board with numbers. We had on average, say, 45 helpers. We had 93 Bibles come through, and amazingly, the children were able to raise about $1,500 for Kobe's. So, yay. Dan from Kobe's was here and spoke to the group a little bit on Friday night, took a bunch of stuff along back with him because I couldn't get it all in my mommy mobile. So up here we have a few things that we'll be taking down later in the week. We actually borrowed the beanbag chairs from Topahakan. Ours are a little bit on back order, but they will be coming in this week. So thank you so much for all that you all do for Bible school, whether it's bring your children, send your grandchildren, you're a helper, you helped with crafts, you helped with games, you made cookies. We had amazing cookies this year. Thank you all so much. You can see the spiders. I know not everybody's into spiders, but just to give you a little piece, the spider up on the wall with all the smiley faces, each smiley face is $50 for Kobe's, and quite frankly, I ran out of smiles. So again, thank you so much for making this Bible school an awesome week.
All right, now at this point, I'd like to have you stand and join with me in the call to worship. It can be found in your bulletin, but it should also be on the screen. The glory of the Lord is all around us.
His face shines upon us.
He has created all things by the power of his voice.
Yet he cares and knows each of us personally.
Let us worship together this God and King. Hymn number 48, verses 1, 2, 3, and 7.
Thank you.
At this time, we'd invite you to share any joys or concerns that we may have among us. And just want to give an update on Harvey Zimmerman. He is at home resting well, and we're so thankful for what God has done in his life. There's continued procedures ahead for him, but we're thankful for the point that they have him. And just continue to keep Harvey in your prayer. And Mary, the breathing tube is taken out from Mary's stump, and just praise God for what he's doing through her healing process. And she's at Hershey in SICU if you wanted to visit her. And of course, any individuals you see on our prayer concerns can always use an uplifting word and a word of encouragement. So just keep that prayer list handy to you each day and continue to pray. We know God moves in our midst. Any other prayer requests you'd like to share with us or joys you'd like to share with us?
Last week, I shared that my sister's apartment building had suffered a fire. They had a lot of smoke damage. They have found a new apartment, so they've been working on cleaning up their belongings as much as they can and getting some more furniture. There's an amazing ministry in Mechanicsburg called New Digs. Hotels that are going through remodels will donate their items that are just a little worn, and then people can go. So they were able to get some furniture from them. We're going this afternoon to help them out, and my parents and a lot of friends have been stepping up to help out. So we appreciate all your prayers. Also, our neighbor asked that we add him to our prayer list. His name is John Yenilavage. He suffered a fall at work, and he has a fractured pelvis and a fractured hip. So he's moving very slowly, really close to retirement. I think he's thrown in the towel. He's done, but just in pain and slow moving. Just ask for prayers for him. Thank you.
Thank you.
I had asked for prayers previously for my friend Sue, who is moving to Washington State. Just an update, she has made it there. But I ask for continued prayers as they try to find their feet there. Another thing, with all the excitement of Bible school, I neglected to mention the fact that Kobe's is actually our mission of the month. So if you could remember that during offering, thank you.
Thank you. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this incredible opportunity to gather as brothers and sisters on a faith journey. Lord, you know each of our hearts. You know where we are with our relationship with you. And I'm just praying this morning, Father, that we would draw ever closer to you. That though we experience pain, though we experience loneliness, though we experience separation from you, we know that Jesus went to the cross. And we know that on that cross, that separation was bridged and that gap has been closed and we have eternal life and we believe that tomb is empty. So Father, as we journey, as we face struggles, as we face suffering, as we face pain, we pray that we would see your goodness in the midst of all of it, knowing that all of this is temporary and that one day eternally we'll see you face to face on that day we pass from this life. So Father, thank you for the legacies that have been left among us. Thank you, Father, for those that are here this morning, those that aren't able to be here this morning. And I pray that you would enter into their stories, that you would spread your love among them, allow your presence to be felt in real and powerful ways. We know, Father, those that are going through very difficult times right now. And we lift up John, who has a fractured pelvis. And Father, you know the pain he's experienced. But Father, we know the great physician that you are. And we're asking, as we ask in Jesus' name, that if it be your will, that fractured pelvis would find healing and he would recover in miraculous time, and we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. We praise you, Father, for new housing, new belongings and furniture and the things that you have set into motion by agencies existing to help provide. And we pray, Father, we would meet needs of others and help others to know that Jesus is real by the real tangible things that we're able to give and the ways we're able to serve. So thank you for that great touch you had upon their life. We think of Sue and just the arrival she's had in Washington, and now she establishes her home there and makes new friends and her new career and just everything happening with Sue. We just pray for her family that you would be with them and just allow them to feel at home. Though we miss them, we know that, Father, you are with them and distance doesn't separate us. We can still communicate in many ways. So please just be with Sue and be with Holly in this time. We thank you for Vacation Bible School again, Father, what the work you have done through so many volunteers here. We are just overwhelmed by the way you allow us to represent you at events like this. And we pray that that would be the case tonight at Music on the Hill with the faithful men and our praise team, that we would shine your light through our songs. We just think of those on our prayer concerns and lift up Rufus and Dorothy and Ruth and John and Carl and Faye and Earl and Grace and Carol and Pete and Eugene, as well as Mary and Eric and the Repperts and Dorothy and Jean and John and Ruth. We ask your special touch upon her, Lord, and just bring healing if it be your will. And we continue to lift up the Harvey Zimmerman and the Brethren Disaster Ministries. And thank you for Kobe's and the ministry that they provide. And we just pray we would respond in our offering time to help them further what they do. We thank you for newlyweds, and we think of Andrew, and we just think of Alexis, and we think of Jake, and we think of Ashley, and just thank you for bringing them together as one, and for the honeymoons they experience and are going to experience. We just thank you for the wonderful blessings of marriage, and lift up each marriage that is here this morning, each family that is here this morning, each individual we just place into your arms, and we know, Father, that you meet us where we are, and we are so, so thankful for that, and we just pray that you would travel through this life with us. We know you're not far from us, though times we feel you are. We pray that we would experience that goodness and just know your presence in a real way. So now we just come, we think about that cross, we know what you have accomplished, our sins have been forgiven, but we still fall short. And we just come before you in this time of silence and confess our sins and also lift up those prayers upon our hearts. Please, Lord, hear our prayers. Father God, we are so thankful that nothing separates us from your love. We know that there's space we create between us, but we know, Father, that space has been bridged through Jesus, your Son. And we know that he's your only Son, and we don't take that for granted. And we live our lives the best we know how to reflect that. Forgive us, Father, for those times we fall short, and lead us onto that straight and narrow path. Be with us now as we continue to worship you and continue to celebrate who you are in our lives. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
As we come to our time of offering, I'm going to share with you a little bit about my week this week. I taught 140 different kids. And don't you know, there's nothing more excited in the morning at 8:30 than a little guy coming in, "Teacher, teacher, I have 4 quarters today." Or the next day, "I got $2 today." And it's such a great big thing for them. They're so excited. And that's my challenge for you. If you can only give $2, make it the best $2 that you've ever given. Because God loves that cheerful giver and that childlike heart. And I think we should all strive to be more like them. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we come to you on this Sunday morning. It's a little bit early. Some of us are a little bit tired. But you know what you have for us. And you know what you will do with the offerings that we give this morning. You can help so many kids through COBEs, teenagers, adoptions, foster children, kids that don't even have their own hairbrush. But you will take our money, God. You will take our 4 quarters or our $2, and you will stretch it, and you will divide it, and you will make it go and provide infinitely for your work. Amen.
Beautiful things out of us. invite the children to come join me up front. Olivia. How many of you know what a kaleidoscope is? Oh, good. People know what it is this time. Do you know how to explain what it is? Can you explain to the group what a kaleidoscope is? Looking at stars, that's a telescope. A kaleidoscope, it's on the screen, but it's this little thing, it's like a telescope. You put it up to your eye, and you turn it, and it has different features on it. You see that? And you know what? Every single turn you make with it, it's not the same. It's always changing. Sometimes you see a design that's so beautiful that you want to save it, and you go to look at it again, do you think you can find that same design?
Yes.
Yes? No. The one thing about a kaleidoscope is always changing. Do you think we live in a world that's always changing? Yeah? I think we do. The people are constantly changing. The seasons are always changing. Our knowledge is always changing. Can you think of anything else in this world that's always changing? The leaves, yes, that goes with the seasons.
Dogs
change, yeah. Nothing ever seems to stay the same. In a world that's constantly changing, don't you think it'd be kind of nice to have something that always stays the same? Can you think of anything that always stays the same? Jesus is love. You're right on point. Good job. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When everything around us is changing and we don't know what to believe or what to do, we can always know that Jesus is love and Jesus will never change. Do you think that's pretty cool? It's good to know that something never changes. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for Jesus' love that will never change. We are so thankful that we can always count on the same thing when everything around us is changing. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining.
Our scripture today comes from Genesis, chapter 1, verse 9. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered in one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to its kind and the variations of its kind. And it was so. The land produced vegetations, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning on the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day.
We've come to realize that the book of Genesis is all about beginnings. God has spoken things into existence, and we read that he was pleased with his creation, so much so that he declares that it is good. So in essence, what we're seeing is God stops and he approves what he creates. It's such a valuable lesson for us, because how many times do we stop to realize how good God is? He's the one who created access to water and the ability for plants to grow in the land. He's the one who gave each of the creatures a role to play and called them good. Despite my lack of goodness I see in snakes, they have a purpose. And this goodness reflects in totality God's wisdom and God's justice. But friends, what happens is this separation from what is good. It's what I'd like to call this morning space between. Now think about those words, space between. We're not talking about outer space, aliens. Or we're not talking about life on other planets. We're talking about space in the sense of distance. And distinctly, we're talking about space between things or people. Things we do to put space between us and God. Our family, friends, spouses, and even the church. There's this story about a family who had a son who was always optimistic. He saw the good in everything. Now, who would like a son like that, right? Well, his parents were concerned that if someday something went wrong, he wouldn't know how to handle it. So on his birthday, they fill his room with bunny droppings. That's right, poop. Now, friends, these were not raisinettes like I thought when I was a child. They do not taste the same. These were bunny droppings, and there were a huge amount of them piled in his room. So surely, they thought this would take him off his cloud of optimism. But friends, he was hopeful, and he begins to throw these droppings everywhere, shouting with glee. And his parents are astonished. They couldn't believe their eyes. What in the world are you doing? They shout. What possible good can you see in all this poop? And the boy, with a massive smile on his face, proclaims, there's gotta be a bunny in here somewhere. You see, friends, it's all about perspective. It's all in how we see things. God saw that it was good. It comes down to the lens in which we see what's happening around us. We can see the good, we can see the bad, we can see the light, or we can try to make our way through the dark. But this morning, write it down, make it known that what God created was good. Now I have to wonder, I have to think, what would it look like if we saw others for their goodness? If we saw the world around us the way God sees the world? I can only imagine the lack of evil, the lack of hate, the lack of others feeling less than the way God intended them to feel, as loved and accepted, valued and treasured. But friends, there are times that we create this space between our lack of faith, the excuses for not being involved in the life of Christ. And I have to believe it boils down to how we see God. We hear this often. If God is good, then why all this evil? We start to think something 2,000 years ago cannot be relevant today. And somehow, some way, time gets in the way. Have you ever looked at your calendars lately? Do you feel we were ever created to be that busy? And if we are that busy, sometimes might I encourage us to just stop and to breathe in how good God is. There's moments that space increases as we compare and feel like we can't measure up to someone else. In essence, we say we're not good enough. Look at so-and-so, they have it all together. What's the point? I'll never get there. But remember, friends, one of the most simple yet most impactful phrases I've ever heard is God doesn't make junk. I want you to look at your thumbprint for a moment. That thumbprint you're looking at right now compares to no one else's. Because you see, you were created unique. You were created special in the eyes of God. It reminds me of a story of a little girl who's watching her mom bake. Suddenly, she noticed her mother has all these several strands of hair that are gray sticking out. And she says, "Mommy, why are some of your hairs gray?" And her mommy replies, "Well, honey, every time you don't choose good and make mommy cry, you're unhappy, one of my hairs turn gray." The little girl stopped and she thinked about that for a moment. And then she said, "So why are all of grandma's mommy's hair gray?" You see, there's no doubt that we're all individuals. We all have varying characteristics, different gifts, different talents, and yet God loves us the same. It's so easy to say, well, God must love him more because he's a deacon, or she plays the piano, or he leads a Sunday school class. But friends, God loves us the way we are. Certainly we bring joy to God when we serve him, and I encourage us to do so. But there's nothing that creates a space between us and the love of God. Paul makes it clear in one of my most favorite verses, Romans 8, 31 to 39. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. And then verse 35,
very familiar to us. We read this. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, friends, it was a love demonstrated on the cross. Yet somehow we let our past define our future and define our present. We second guess. We don't believe in ourselves. We give up. We give in. And we think we're never going to get out of the place we're in. That space between will always be. But friends, nothing can be further from the truth. We can't give up. We must press on. We see all this is good, and we run this race knowing that God pleads on our behalf. It's almost like he's saying, you go, girl, you go, boy, you got this. We're never too far gone that God doesn't love us. We can curse him. We can throw our fists in the air at him. We can run away as far as we possibly can. We can say all we want. We want nothing to do with him. But that space between us and him will always be bridged through Jesus, and his love will never change. That unconditional love made evident by the cross, the space between the hammer and the nail that led to a love that never separates. So friends, don't think for one second his comfort, his peace, his joy isn't near. We can be angry at God all we want. He can handle it. We can say over and over again, there's nothing good about this life. But that space between will remain with a deep love always flowing to bridge it. The waters will swarm with fish and life. The skies will be filled with birds of every kind, sea creatures and every sort of fish, every kind of animal, livestock, small animals, and wildlife. And we know that God said it was good. Despite how we feel, that goodness remains. But we play this game and we start to think we'll never get back to where we were. That love that we had in the beginning was so tight. We read the Bible every day. We prayed consistently. We knew God like our best friend. We were like newlyweds, but over time, it dwindled. It faded. It started to flicker. And for some now, that love is all but burnout. We can say life took its toll. Suffering and pain, the loss of a loved one, a divorce, some unexpected journey that causes us to question that God loves us at all, let alone speaks and leads us in this life. It reminds me of a golfer who was standing in the front of his first tee. It was a hazard hole. There was a green surrounded by water. And he wondered if he should use his brand new Callaway golf ball. Deciding the hole was just too dangerous, he chose an old ball that he could afford to lose and placed it on the tee. When suddenly there was a voice from the sky saying, use the new ball. Frightened, he replaced the old ball with the new one and he approached the tee. The voice again came from above saying, you better use a practice swing. With this, the golfer obeyed. He stepped back and he took a mighty swing. He felt confident and he approached the brand new ball, and a voice rang out, "Use the old ball." Friends, the question is, are we listening to God? Jesus said in John 10, 28 to 30, "My sheep hear my voice." We often think out with the old and in with the new. But what if? What if what we've always done is working? What if it's making a difference in the space between? But the world, the culture, the enemy has a way of affecting our thoughts, a way of causing us to question whether God is good and question whether he can be all that loving. That voice from the world tells us to look around. Can't you see all the hate? Can't you see all the disasters? Take a look at yourself. Look at all the pain and suffering you're going through. But friends, it's here we need to take pause, and we need to realize God never changes. We do. God never changes. We do. It's evident in the way one day we're besties with God, and the next day, he's the last person we want to talk to. One day we love him so much, and the next day we're shaking our fist at him. Scripture is very clear that God never changes. Hebrews 13:8, you just heard this morning with Abby's children moment. Jesus Christ, would you say it with me, is the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi 3:6, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Revelation 1:8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Psalm 92, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." And Psalm 102, 24 to 27. "Oh my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days, you whose years endure throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end." You see, friends, God never changes. We do. In one way or another, we are creating the space between. But friends, the good news is this: there is reconciliation, there is redemption, there is restoration, and it's all through the cross. Christ has made a way, and this will never change. He said it himself, "It is finished." So the question we ask ourselves this morning is, why allow the space to exist any longer? And here's where it gets interesting. The space between requires a step inside the throne room of God, a laying down of what's not ours to begin with. That step will often start with conviction. It's like this God conscience. Jeremy said it well at VBS this week with the junior high. We have a God spirit and we have a human spirit. They'll always exist. The God spirit will guide us to know the difference between right and wrong, light and dark. And no matter how evil a person thinks they've become, there will always be that speck of God that exists. But friends, it takes humility. It takes being able to see with God's eyes. As Jeremy said, it takes removing the veil and believing in Christ. Taking that step inside the life in Christ, it's a choice that changes our lives forever. Many of us remember that day very well. We remember that fire that burned within us, that passion we had to serve. And though the years have gone by, Christ is continually growing within us. We're maturing, we're gaining wisdom, we're living further into the cause of Christ. But today, may we take time to survey that space between. Ask ourselves, have we been looking a lot like Christ? Can others tell that we have staked our claim on holy ground, fertile soil, where we know that deep roots grow and we're bearing much fruit? But friends, in a literal sense, if that space between over all these years has grown, there's one thing that begins a powerful work within. And that's to pray. If you take the time out of your busy schedules to meet with God, to tell Him where you are, the life that you're experiencing, He hears you. But pray specifically, Father, begin a new work within me. I've been struggling. I don't know how to handle what's happening. But friends, He does. We can count on God to show up in our situations. So I encourage us to speak the name of Jesus, because there's no name more powerful. There's no name that changes the space between like His. Would you pray with me? Father, we just thank You that we can proclaim Your goodness. We confess, Father, this life can become difficult, but we know that You are above all things, and there's no space between us that must remain. Your unconditional love is consuming, and Your truth will forever reign. So, Father, please, let us rejoice this day. Let us look at our lives and realize where that space is. But lead us, guide us through Your Spirit, to walk in Your light, to share Your goodness with others. For we know that You are indeed good. Amen. Let us burst forth from this sanctuary into this world and let the Lord be exalted by the way we live, by the way we speak. Let us encourage one another. Let us build up and let us show the love of Christ in ways that others know we serve a risen Lord. Amen.